Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday, March 20th edition of Byers & Company. Our tournament of grub continues. Heinkel's countdown to opening day. City manager Tim Gleason plus Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports. It all starts now.
Byers & Company. WSOY 1340 AM. 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Back here on a Tuesday. You know, it is election day, and it's the first day of spring. I'm happy about the first part of that, because that means the advertising will be done soon. I'm not happy about the second part of it, because it doesn't feel like spring this morning. It's a little chilly out there. Although, I guess, first day of spring means that we're getting to that light at the end of the tunnel, right?
Very true. Very true. And I'm ready for it as well.
We didn't have a particularly tough winter. I don't know why. I think the older you get, it's just harder to get through the seasons.
Yes.
Does that sound crazy?
Yes. No, it makes total sense.
Because it really wasn't a brutal winter. I mean, it wasn't like a few years ago with like Snowmageddon where we were just getting constantly hit. I mean, the plows weren't out all that much, right? The salt trucks were not out all that much.
Nope, not much at all. A little bit of ice work, a little bit of snow, but we had a good season.
You can probably tell just by line items, right, whether we've had a bad winter or not.
Yeah, actually, over the winter, our money went to potholes because of the up and down with, the temps.
Yeah, the potholes were really bad this year. But I think everybody got out there pretty quick and got them patched, and at least temporarily. It was about a 24, 48-hour period where it was just like anything goes. First of all, congratulations on the council approving this new deal with you. I know you're going to have haters, and you're going to have people that will say, I wonder what makes people uniquely qualified to decide what people make in a category that they know nothing about. But that's just sort of Facebook today, right? Does this stuff bother you? I mean, you're a human being. I know you put this tough exterior on, and you're a former law enforcement guy, and I get that. But it's got to be at least irritating.
First off, far more support out there.
That's the one thing people don't tell you, right? I mean, you get these loud people on social media that doesn't make up for what happens most of your day when you encounter people.
Yep. Let's say when it bothers me more, probably for my wife and daughter. But again, we'll be walking Walmart. Somebody will come up to me and they see that as well. So, there are far more positives, community support. It really is there. The negatives are so small that I tend to ignore it.
Yeah, well, I know, and that's probably the healthy thing to do, and I'm the same way. But there are times when the stuff just gets personal, and I don't understand that. I've had the pleasure of working closely with you over the last number of years, both on this show and stuff we've done together and working with Howard and these things. And I find you to be a consummate professional, and I don't understand some of the media's obsession, with this Gleason thing, like where it's still like that's half the story a year. I mean, anyone can sue anyone. And the way that ended, ended so decisively that I don't know why that even continues to be a story.
Agreed. And I'll tell you the interesting thing about this is, we never publicly argued the truth. I didn't call witnesses. We didn't get to that point. This was all procedural. This was the legal back and forth. The day that I was going to be able to call, witnesses in the final four meetings, there were several witnesses, and we never got to that day. And some of the reporting just never shaped the articles that way that, hey, folks,
we've only heard one side of this. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yes.
All right. Well, anyway, so I thought the raise was, and we had the mayor on Friday. We talked about what city managers are making in and around the area. If you look around, and communities get to decide for themselves. I mean, to me, it's always you get what you pay for. I'm a big believer in that. There are some people that just want to cut your way to prosperity and try to do everything on the cheap. I do not understand that mindset. I think eventually that mindset is nothing but doomsday for your company or your organization, because you, at the end of the day, are going to get what you pay for.
I agree. I look at hiring that way as well. I truly am very blessed. I didn't ask for a pay raise.
No, but I mean, clearly the council is worried about losing you to another community or another offer, and when you're making considerably less than what your peers are making in other communities, I applaud them, even if it's bad timing, whatever that means. The only way you're going to get out of deficit and get the job done is to have competent people that are doing that job every day. This one or the other argument to me is a silly one. It doesn't even make any sense.
Understood. I'm just very appreciative. I'm not the type of person that wants to squeeze everything out of an opportunity. Appreciate what the mayor and the council did, and very loyal to the community. I mean, this is home.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it. All right, so let's get back to where we are with the council and what's coming next. Clearly, this deficit that is being hyped up all the time, a great deal of that, and I don't understand what the questioning process of this is. Explain to me again, if you can, and you've done this before, and I apologize for asking you to do it again, but clearly there's some perception issues out there with this, that how much of this deficit is money that's actually sitting in the bank ready to pay police officers for back pay when this contract is finally negotiated?
$1.2 million okay. Of the $3 million.
There's no gray area there.
None at all. That is the one area that we know that is eventually going to be a back pay amount. So $2 million is the true number. And of that $2 million, $500,000 is attributable to the city for the increase of operations. Very proud of that number. It's less than 1% increase from the previous year. We have a $67 million operating budget. $1.5 million is as a result of the action that the General Assembly and the state took.
Which you had no control over whatsoever. Right. And in fact, did anyone even know, including the people who voted for that bill, that this was going to be the repercussions for local communities?
No, actually, we were checking once the budget passed and really trying to figure out what the impacts were going to be to the city. We probably got a clear idea, I'm going to say, late August of last year, and we're rolling into true FY18 budget season for us because we're on a calendar year. So of that $1.5 million at the state, about $1 million of that is LGDF, which is a part of the state income tax. It was a 10% one-time take. I know that state has challenges and believe that, there's going to be some sort of sustained loss of revenues to the locals in order to try to address their budget issues. Just what is it? How much is it? What do I need to prepare for? So 2018 has given me what I believe is an opportunity. Very real deficit. That number, that $2 million number, does not go away unless I control spending throughout the course of the year. But it gives me a full year to try to find ways in a sustained loss of revenue, 2019 and going forward, where it's not an increase in taxes, it's not reduced services, trying to find opportunities to manage from within. There's Churchill had a quote, when you're out of money, you're forced to think. I think we have done that all along, but, we've been forced to think a little bit harder. If we do have a sustained loss of revenues, it will equal staff at some point. But trying to reduce that amount as well.
You hit on something important there, though, and I hope local government would at least lead the way on this, because state government needs to learn this lesson, and they never do. All the years I've talked to the ADMs of the world, they're not looking for favoritism. They just want to know what the landscape looks like. We can't put together a 10-year business plan if every year the state's turning around and changing the way they do everything to grab more money. I would say that it would be the same thing for you guys, right? I mean, everybody's trying to figure this out, but it just keeps running downhill. They're collecting more taxes than they ever have, yet nobody can pay the bills. You guys get the brunt of it on a local level because most people aren't running into their state senator or their state rep or their congressman day in and day out at the grocery store. But I would think it's the same thing these business owners are telling you, whether it's a gaming place or whether it's a liquor license. Hey, just keep the playing field level so we know what to expect and how to plan for it.
Agreed. I think our approach is very similar to the private model. We understand very clearly, and we've got a strong body of elected officials that do not want to increase taxes. And also fully understand that you, like you just said, you cannot cut your way to success. So we're trying to strike this balance today and going forward where we're keeping our foot in the gas pedal. You know, obviously it's not floored. We can't do that. But we're keeping our foot in the gas pedal, trying to maintain and even increase the momentum that we have in the community. If we would have balanced this budget right at the front end of 2018, we would have lost $400,000 towards fire facilities, and that problem's not going to go away. We have this momentum rolling into the community and neighborhood revitalization, $300,000 dedicated to that. We would have lost that. We're trying to find a way to do it all.
All right, where are we?
I think we can.
Okay, where are we as a community on looking at the organizations in this timeline? I know that you had these organizations reporting back to you and the council. Where does all of that stand? Because I know there's a lot of people that are attached to whether it's the municipal band or the celebration or, you know, the neighborhood group, Kono. Where do we stand with all of that?
Kono was approved last night.
Okay.
And all the entities, unless they have a separate type of payment plan, but all are being funded quarterly just like they have been. At the council meeting, not last night, but the one prior, the decision, at least I think the majority of the council landed on this, where mid-year we would assess what the remaining part of the year will be. I'm confident that, you know, while I report that to council mid-year, there's not going to be a problem, you know, for the remainder of 2018. But also it gives us an opportunity, hopefully knowing what to expect, just like what you were talking about out of the state, you know, what can we tell these entities as far as funding 2019 and going forward? So I really do believe that 2018, we're in good shape. Decatur Celebration as an example. I know that Lori and Kendall that's on the board, they're trying to find ways to reduce the 2018 costs. So they're not waiting until 2019 to try to lessen the amount that the city contributes, you know, through workforce primarily. So, you know, we're just trying to cover all the bases. And
It's a fine balance, though, right? I mean, you got to have quality of life. It's like every time we've had a big project that's announced that's quality of life, and people say, well, why don't you spend the money? Well, the truth is you have to do all of these things simultaneously. A community can't just fix problems and then wait till all the problems are fixed and then do nice things. You have to do both of them at the same time.
Agreed. And you also have to find a way to effectively communicate that. You know, try to equip the elected officials so that when they see their constituents out and about, that they can, you know, share what an accurate, you know, may not like the answer, but at least they're sharing the facts. And sometimes, you know, some will argue less is best. I don't subscribe to that at all. We've got very intelligent people in the community, and I try to be as transparent as I possibly can. I know that we throw out a number of numbers, you know, when we say 3.2 and we talk about 2 million and 500 is ours, but I try to walk through it slow enough.
I don't know where the confusion, I mean, it's crystal clear to me. I don't understand where the confusion is on that. You guys have been up front day one on that. What is the deal with the police department, or what can you say publicly about those negotiations? This seems odd to me that we didn't have any of these problems at all with the other sort of first responders, the fire department, firefighters. Can you explain why it's taking so long to get this done?
The first session was prior to my arrival. So
yeah, I mean, this goes way
ago.
Back. Yes,
and there's a number of things. I guess at the end of the day, and I'm straddling the fence on you because
you're in arbitration. I understand you can't say, but you're a former law enforcement guy. In your heart of hearts, would you like to see this thing settled fairly and making sure that our men and women of our law enforcement are taken care of?
Definitely. There are issues. Residency is an issue that the city wants. There's a couple of others. It would be, you know, the same as any other employee in the city of Decatur. But the one area that probably bothers me the most is...
Now, that residency requirement is what the council wants, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I just want to make sure we're very clear about this, because I talk to a lot of law enforcement people, and I can see it from their point of view. I mean, you know, the guy working in the water department isn't arresting the kid, dad, who his kid goes to school with. I mean, it is a different career.
correct?
I mean, they are a city employee, yes.
Yep.
But what they do is very different than a guy who's trimming trees.
Very true. Been there, done that. Got a son-in-law that's still in the profession. My dad's retired, uncle. But also, let's not forget, we've got 45% of our current officers that do live in this city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the argument or the hope is that if we get city employees, and this burden is not just being placed on the backs of the police officers. If we get city employees living in our community, it's not the traditional argument of responding to, you know, God forbid, some sort of disaster. And it's not exclusively about property tax. It's about gainfully employed people at the city level being a part of trying to rebuild this community that's seen, I think, more than its fair share of challenges. And it's a deeper argument, and it's one that will play out in arbitration. But what I was going to say before, and the council's on board with this as well, it bothers me that there have been four missed opportunities for pay raises going back to May 1st of 2015. And, in fact, have tried to carve out a couple of those pay raises to get those to the police officers. And it's been refused. So we're arguing, I guess, and negotiating the entire package. But there has been an attempt to get two pay raises to the men and women of the police department.
All right. So you're not trying to hold out to get less for these folks. I mean, you and I have had these personal conversations. I know you want to see the money in the pockets of those men and women who serve.
Agreed. Nor has it ever been a discussion internally with staff that are negotiating this or with the elected officials that in the face of this deficit that we have, that we erase or change the $1.2 million that we've set aside as back pay. It's there. And never have we talked about taking all or part of that off the table. These men and women deserve this, and at some point we will settle a contract and move forward.
All right. City Manager Tim Gleason, we appreciate you being in today. Good luck for your dad.